Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Daryl, and welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is an introduction to debugging message flows in WebSphere Message Broker version 6.0. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will open for a question and answer session. Today's presenter is Vivek Grover. Vivek works with WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 support and is responsible for working customer problems worldwide and providing resolution. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vivek. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the webcast. I see quite a few familiar names on the list of listeners today. Thank you all for joining. We are going to learn the process of debugging message flows and different aspects of debugging. We will also go through the different components involved in debugging message flows and some of the common problems that we see on a daily basis here at Level 2, followed by any questions that you may have. Beginning with FOIL 2. FOIL 2, please. This FOIL describes the structure of the session. We're going to start with the introduction to Message Flow Debugger. Then we'll move on to the different components involved in debugging process, both in front and behind the scenes. We will also go through how these components communicate with each other that lets the developers or the users proceed with debugging and troubleshooting their message flows. We will see an example with the help of some screenshots highlighting the key buttons and the key features that can help you debug your message flows. Some common issues and gotchas will follow that. Foil number 3, please. The message flow debugger enables the user to inspect the message content and the execution scenario by tracking messages through the message flow. Once the user is in debug mode, they can run messages through the message flows and see how the message flows are processing messages, how the messages are getting processed at different nodes within the flow that it's hitting, and check the message content, check the message tree, see how it looks like at any particular instance. Message Flow Debugger provides the capability to the user to inspect, to examine, and to change the variables. This could be ESQL, Java code, mapping variables, based on the content of the message tree. The different components involved in the Message Flow Debugging are Message Broker Toolkit, IBM Agent Controller, and the Broker Runtime. Foil number 4, please. The Message Broker Toolkit provides the GUI interface, GUI capability to the end user to interact with the message flow and change the variables as we discussed earlier. The Message Broker Toolkit itself provides the interface to the end user to develop the message flows and also to deploy the message flows. However, from debugging perspective, it's giving the user, the end user, the functionality to interact with the message flow itself. Broker itself is the runtime component that controls the execution group, also called the data flow engine processes, that runs these message flows that the users would like to debug. IBM Agent Controller, also called IBM Rack, in short, provides the flow debugging interface between the toolkit and the broker itself. This is the intermediate component that provides the interface between the end user toolkit and the broker that runs the message flow that the users would like to debug. There is a small condition for Agent Controller that it must reside on the same machine as the broker. And this is because when the broker starts up, at that time the data flow engines running under the broker register themselves with the agent controller. Foil number 5, please. As we can see in this picture, the components message broker toolkit, which is hosting the agent controller client and also giving the end user interface as we discussed earlier, the agent controller client comes inbuilt. It's integrated with the toolkit, so the users don't have to download or do anything just to get the agent controller client. Once they install message broker toolkit, they get the agent controller client as well. The other component is the broker runtime, as we discussed. In this picture, I have used two data flow engines as an example. You can have more than two. You can have many data flow engines running under the broker. These data flow engines run the message flows that the users would have deployed to the broker before proceeding to debugging that message flow. Now, how does the toolkit and broker communicate? That capability is provided by the agent controller. The agent controller resides on the same machine as the broker, and when the data flow engines start up, they get registered with the agent controller. So the agent controller at that time is passed the information about the message flows that are running under these data flow engines, and this information is then relayed to the agent controller client, which is with the end user. So the end user sitting on the toolkit will now have the information about the message flows through the agent controller. Please note that this back-end communication is only taking place in the debug mode. The agent controller should not be confused with a component that can be used to control the broker under normal deploy or runtime operation. This is strictly for debugging purposes. It should not be taken as an alternative to the configuration manager, which is used for deployment and development activities. Foil number 6, please. Moving on to slide 6, as we described earlier, the three components would need to be installed on the machine. So we recommend installing Agent Controller version 6.0 or version 6.0.1 on the machine hosting the broker. The Message Broker Toolkit version 6 should be installed with the latest fixed pack. The latest one we're running at the moment is fixed pack 2 with the latest software updates using the Rational Product Updater, also known as RPU in short. The users can go to Message Broker Toolkit and go to Help Software Updates to download the software updates using Rational Product Updater. Broker itself should run at the same fixed pack level as Message Broker Toolkit. Ideally speaking, we recommend that Message Broker Toolkit, Configuration Manager, Broker, they all should be running at the same fixed pack level. I would like to point out that these are the recommended versions. These are not the supported versions only. There are the previous versions of Agent Controller, previous versions of Toolkit. They're also supported. So for instance, if version 6 Toolkit, 6-pack 1 is being used with Agent Controller version 5.0.2, the previous version, to debug a message flow running on Broker version 6, 6-pack 2, that will also be supported. However, due to some known problems, some known issues, we recommend running these later versions. Once the installation is complete, all we have to do is start the agent controller and start the message broker. Agent controller should be started first, as I mentioned earlier, because the broker gets registered. The data flow engines running in the broker get registered at the time of broker startup. So if the agent controller is started later, the data flow engines would not have anything to register with. And at that time, the agent controller would not have the information about the data flow engines and the message flows. Moving on to slide number 7. Before debugging, one would need to have the message Webflow opened in the development application development perspective in the toolkit. And this would be the message flow that the user wants to debug. So once you open the message flow, you can insert the breakpoints at different points, either within the ESQL or on the message flow connection. You would then deploy this message flow to the execution group in the broker administration perspective in the toolkit. Deployment can be performed either before or after adding the breakpoints. Breakpoints can be added at a later stage as well. So once we have the message flow deployed and the breakpoint inserted, we're ready to move on to debugging the message flow, setting up the debugger configuration. And for that, we need to click on the window on the toolkit open perspective to switch to the debug perspective, which we will see in the following slide. Slide number 8, please. As we see in this screen capture, you would click on the window in the toolkit. There is a window in the menu bar, and click on debug, at which time it will pop up the select perspective window, and it will give you the options for different perspectives that are supported in the message broker toolkit. Since we are switching to debug perspective to debug the flow, we would select the debug perspective here and click OK. Moving on to next slide, please. Slide number 9 shows the screenshot of once you are in the debug perspective, you would invoke the debugger configuration wizard to set up the debugger configuration and to point which broker is running the flow and what machine is running the flow and so on. But when you select the debug perspective, it brings you to the debugger perspective, and here you will see the look of the screen looks a little bit different. On the left-hand side, it gives you the debug pane, and we'll see the importance of debug pane in the following slides. But when you click on the bug, after switching to debug perspective, it gives you the drop-down options for debug. You would select debug here to invoke the debugger configuration wizard. At the bottom, I have highlighted the breakpoints. You can insert the breakpoints at a later stage or even before you deploy the flow. It's up to the user. Slide number 10, please. This is the snapshot of the opening page of Debugger Configuration Wizard. On the left-hand side, it gives you different configurations. The one that we are interested in is the Message Broker Debugger configuration, and you would select that and then click on the new to invoke the new debugger configuration. Slide number 11, please. This is a snapshot of the next page in Debugger Configuration Wizard. The left-hand side, when you create the new debugger configuration, gives the different options, different choices for this debugger configuration. At the top, it gives you the name of this configuration. You can give it a name, XYZ configuration, and it will save it for you. In the general tab, it will give you the flexibility of selecting the IBM agent controller port number. The default port number is 10002. This is the port number where on the agent controller side, on the broker and agent controller machine on which the agent controller is listening. You can select a different port, and we'll talk about that too, but if you decide to select a different port, you will need to specify the different port number here. The third highlighter is for the message flow project, and this once you select the, once you're in the debugger perspective in the debugger configuration, it will list all the message flow projects that you have in your workspace that are open. The following highlighter is for the host name, and this is the machine name, the server name on which the agent controller and the broker are running. The next one is for the message flow data flow engines. The message flows are running on the data flow engines on the broker side, and when you click on the flow engine button here, it will pop up a new window for you which will list all the execution groups that are currently deployed to the broker and that have registered with the agent controller. And this is the information that is being relayed from the agent controller to the agent controller client, which is what is displayed here in the debugger perspective. Moving on to the next slide, please. This slide gives you the snapshot of the pop-up window that you would get when you click on the flow engine button in the previous slide, as we mentioned. And in this case, there's only one data flow engine. When I took the screenshot, I only had one data flow engine registered in my agent controller, and that's the default. But if you look at the window, it gives you the name of the execution group or the data flow engine, and it will give you the process ID of the data flow engine that it's running with on the broker machine. Out of these execution groups, in this case only one, but if you have multiple data flow engines deployed, out of these execution groups, you would select the one that you're interested in that contains the message flow that the user wants to debug, and you would click OK on it. Moving on to slide 13, please. And when you do that, it will give you this representation. On the left-hand side, it gives you, and this is the debug pane that we talked about, it gives you the execution group name, it gives the process ID with which it is running, it gives the machine name that you had selected on which the broker and the data flow engines are running. It appears in the connection here. At the bottom, I have given another way of adding breakpoints. Now, at this point, you can also add and insert the breakpoints by simply right-clicking on the connector and select Add Breakpoint. At this point, you can also open the ESQL and insert breakpoints there. On the right-hand side, there is the message flow outline view, which shows the different nodes that are contained in this message flow. Not necessarily in the same order, though. Slide 14, please. Once you have selected the machine name, selected the data flow engines that contains the flow that you want to debug, and you've inserted the breakpoints, the message flow is ready for debugging. And at this time, one can put the message on the queue, the input queue, to see how it's getting processed through the message flow, and one will also see how it's running in the debugger, how the debugger gives information about this message as it's hitting different nodes. Slide 15, please. This screenshot gives the It covers different debugger control options. Once you're in the debugger, I guess if you look at the bottom, starting with the bottom of the screen print, it shows the breakpoint is hit, which means the message has been put to the queue, and the breakpoint right after the input node has been hit. It's highlighted in yellow, signifying that the breakpoint has been hit. To move on after. Once the breakpoint has been hit, to move on further, there are debugger control buttons, debugger control options that have been highlighted at the top. Different choices that the users get are step into the source, step over, or run to completion. step into the source gives the user flexibility to enter the source of the next node. Like in this case, the next node is the compute node of the message flow. And if the user selects step into source, it will go to the ESQL code of the compute node. If you decide to select step over, it will simply jump from this breakpoint to the next breakpoint, completely bypassing the next node, the compute node in this case. If you're done with the debugging session, or if you're done with deciphering your message flow, message tree content, you can simply hit run to completion, and at which time the message flow will complete its processing. Depending on the message, whether it's successful or it's not, but it's going to finish processing of that message. Slide number 16, please. This snapshot gives the incident at in which we have decided to do a step into the source. And when you would click on step into the source, as I said earlier, it will go into the ESQL of the next node. And in this case, it was the compute node. At the top, it shows in the debug pane, at the top, it shows the line number in the ESQL where you are at the moment. And if you select step into the source again, it will go to the next line in the ESQL. So if you want to debug, if you want to see the message tree on every line of ESQL code, you would simply keep on clicking step into the source. At the right-hand side corner on the top is the message tree pane, where the debugger lists the different tree contents, the message tree contents. It shows the exception list, it shows the local environment, it shows the message body itself, and we'll talk about this view in detail in the following slides. But this is the one of the main focal point of debugging, where the developers or the users are going to check and see how the messages are looking as it's hitting different ESQL statements or as it's hitting different nodes in the flow. At the right-hand side bottom, it lists the node on which is being debugged, which is currently in debugger progress at the moment. Slide number 17, please. This shows the message tree pane that I mentioned earlier. The message tree pane, which was on the right-hand side corner of the previous slide, this contains two tabs. One is the breakpoint tab, and the other is variable tab. The breakpoint tab simply lists all the breakpoints that you have inserted in your message flow. The variables tab itself gives the message tree content. It gives the details of how the header looks like, how the message descriptor looks like, how the message body looks like, gives the exception list, if the exception list tree gets populated. The message tree contents can be changed here in this pane by simply right-clicking on the variable that you would like to change and select change value. Now, as the message is getting processed through different nodes of the flow, you can examine the messages. You can examine this message tree pane as the message is being processed through different nodes, or change the contents of the message in the flow during debugging. Now, while debugging, if at any point you were to encounter any exception occurs, then the exception list tree at the bottom gets populated in the variables pane in this pane, and you can scroll down to see what exception are you getting, at which stage you can make changes to your ESQL, make changes to your code, and debug it again to see how it's getting, how it's looking now. Slide number 18, please. Until now, we have seen how the message flow, a simple message flow without having any plugins or any Java compute nodes, processes the message and how debugger works with those kinds of flows. With debugging Java compute node message flows or Java plugin node message flows, the procedure remains the same as we discussed earlier. However, there is a bit of extra configuration that is involved. The additional configuration is to set the port number, the Java port number, on the broker side so as to let the broker know that this is the port number on which this execution group would be listening for the JVM, for the Java debug. The port number must be unique for each execution group. For instance, if there are two execution groups containing two different message flows, both having Java compute nodes, then the port number for execution group one would be different from the port number for execution group two for Java debugging. As you can see, the command MQSI change properties, this is the command that you can use to set the JVM debug port for this execution group. Dash N is the JVM debug port option, and dash V would be the port number, the actual port number. Once you set the port number, you would need to recycle the broker so that the broker takes this port number into effect. Once this is done, the broker part of configuration has been performed, and then we have to let the toolkit or the IBM Agent Controller client know that this is the port number where it has to connect for this execution group that contains the Java plugin or Java compute node for debugging. We will see these screenshots in detail in the following slides, but just to cover up, you would also need to add the Java source projects in the source panel in the debugger configuration, and you will need to ensure that the Java project does exist in your workspace. Moving on to slide number 19. This is the Java debug setting in the debugger configuration wizard. You would need to select debug Java source code, and this is the Java port where you would point your agent controller client to go and attach to that data flow engine containing the Java plugin node or Java compute node. You will need to select the same port number, give the same port number here as the one that you had set in MQSI change properties in the previous slide. Slide number 20, please. This is the next tab in the Java debugging configuration wizard, which is called source. You would switch to source tab after setting your JVM debug port, and at this point you would need to add the Java source to that in the debugger configuration wizard so that it knows that which Java source is the user wanting to debug. When you click on Add, it will give you the list of the Java sources in your workspace, which we will see that in the following slide, slide number 21, please. In this slide, it gives the list. Actually, it gives you the different options when you click on Add button, and here you would select the Java project. When you select Java project and click on OK, At this time, it will give you the list of the Java projects that are contained in your workspace. Slide 22, please. In this slide, you can see the different Java projects that I had in my workspace when I was trying to debug. Test Java was or the other Java project that I had, and you can select the Java project here and click on OK to let the debugger configuration know that this is the port number that it needs to attach to on which the data flow engine is listening, and this is the Java source that you would want to debug. Once you click OK on that, the Java part of configuration has been done, and at this time you can proceed in the same way, in the same manner as we had proceeded earlier to debug the message flow, simply by putting the message on the flow and to see how it's behaving in different nodes. You would see you would maneuver the debugger in the same way by clicking on either step into the source or step over or run to completion. Slide number 23, please. This slide talks about some of the common problems that we see here at level 2. One of the most common problems we see is that the list of execution groups does not show up, which means the user goes into the debug perspective, goes into the debug configuration wizard, and when they click on the flow engine button after giving the correct machine name, correct port number, when they click on the flow engine, the list appears to be empty. None of the execution groups are listed there. One of the things that we would want to check at that point would be to ensure that the agent controller was started before the broker. And as I mentioned earlier, that the data flow engines running under the broker get registered with the agent controller when they are started. So when data flow engines are started, they send the registration information to the agent controller, considering that agent controller is running. If agent controller is stopped, this registration information is sent by data flow engine, but it's not registered because agent controller is not available. With the result, the agent controller hasn't registered. The data flow engines have not registered with the agent controller, and so the toolkit shows the list as empty. The second point to check is the agent controller port. As I mentioned earlier, the agent controller uses default port 10002, and this port number can be changed. You can change it on the toolkit side in the debugger configuration. We talked about that in one of the slides earlier, where in the debugger configuration wizard you can provide the port number at which the agent controller is listening. On the agent controller side, you would need to modify that port number as well, and that can be modified in the serviceconfig.xml file, which is the configuration file for the agent controller. This file can be located under the agent controller install directory/config. So wherever, depending on wherever you install your agent controller, the default location on Unix is opt IBM agent controller. So if you were to look for serviceconfig.xml, you can find that under /opt/ IBM agent controller /config directory. And this, when you open this file in the notepad or something, or the text editor, you can search for the text called port, which will give you the port number. There's only one instance of the actual text port in that file, and that port gives you the port number on which the agent controller is listening. Again, the default is 10002, but you can change that value to 10,010 or XYZ and provide that same port number in the debugger configuration wizard in the toolkit. You need to make sure that this port number is available on the machine. You can do that using netstat command and make sure that the port number has the status of distance. One of the other key things to check is the agent controller security. You need to ensure that the agent controller security is disabled as the message broker only supports the security for agent controller to be disabled. And you can disable the security either at the time of agent controller installation, where it gives you a choice for either enabling or disabling the security, at which point you can select false for disabling the security or true for enabling the security. By default, the true button is checked, which means the security is enabled, but you can select false here, and that will disable the agent controller security at the time of installation. If by mistake you have installed agent controller with the security enabled, no worries, you can still disable it at a later stage. There is a file called setconfig.bat on the Windows machine, which can be located again under agent controller install /bin directory. Or on Unixes, the file name is called setconfig.sh, which can again be located under agent controller install /bin directory. So on Windows, it would be c:\programfiles IBM agent controller /bin, or on Unixes, it could be /opt/IBM agent controller /bin. When you run this file, when you run the script, it will give you a choice for enabling or disabling the security again, at which time you can select false to disable the security. Slide number 24, please. The other thing to check is the firewall. In the older versions of Agent Controller, like version 5 or 5.0.2, firewalls were not supported. In other words, if your agent controller or broker is running behind the firewall, if there's a firewall between the toolkit and the agent controller, we would ask you to disable the firewall and then proceed with debugging. However, in the newer version 6.0.1, you can run with the firewall up. However, you have to configure one additional parameter called isDataMultiplexed. By default, this isDataMultiplexed is set to false. Again, this is in the serviceconfig.xml. As I mentioned, this file can be located under agentcontroller /install/config directory. So again, on Unixes, it would be /opt/IBM agent controller/config directory. And when you bring up this file, open this file in text editor, you can search for the parameter called isDataMultiplex, and you would set that value to true instead of false, and set the file port to the value 0. I think default is 10,005 for file port, so you would select that to 0. The reason we do that is if there is a firewall, although from the rack, from the IBM agent controller toolkit standpoint, the debugger configuration wizard standpoint, you have given the port number 10,002, and even if you have open 10,002 port number on the broker machine, when toolkit sends the information, when the debugger IBM agent controller client sends the information to the agent controller, it sends the information on the port number 10,002. However, the way agent controller passes the information about the message flows back to the IBM Agent Controller client or the toolkit is done. Now that communication is done dynamically. The Agent Controller looks for dynamically for any port available randomly, and it will send the information at that time. So if you have the firewall running, it will try to find a port randomly, but it will not be able to find an open port, at which time it will not be able to pass the information about the message flows back to the toolkit. With the result, your list of execution groups would come out to be empty. So when you set the isData multiplex to true, you are pretty much telling the agent controller to use the same port 10002 to send the information back to toolkit. The toolkit client comes in and attaches to the data flow engine on the port 10002, and the agent controller sends the information back to the toolkit, again using the same port 10002. So this lets the two-way communication taking place using the same port number. And this way you can leave your firewall running, just open 10002 port number, and set the isData multiplex to true, file port to zero, and the information would be relayed back to the toolkit containing the information about the message flows that the users would like to view. One of the other things to check is if somebody else is attached to the execution group for debugging. If some other user is attached to the same execution group, you will not see that execution group listed in the flow engine in the debugger configuration wizard when you select the flow engine button. And this is because at a time only one user can attach to one execution group. So if multiple users cannot be attached to the same execution group. The other thing to check is that your broker is up and running. If the broker isn't running, again, the data flow engines would not be able to send the registration information to Agent Controller. With the result, Agent Controller won't have anything to send to the toolkit, and at which time your list of execution groups would come out as empty. Slide number 25, please. The other common problem we see is that the breakpoints are not working during the debug run, which means that the message flows, the debugger configuration user has attached to the data flow engine, and the user puts the message on the flow, but the message doesn't hit any breakpoint. It simply bypasses all the breakpoints and finishes processing. For this kind of problem, there are about 8 to 10 known issues that we have covered and we have fixed in the FixPack 2 software updates. When a user reports a problem like this, first thing we request them is to ensure that they have FixPack 2 installed with all the latest software updates. Again, as I mentioned, you can download these software updates by going to the toolkit, help, software updates, and using Rational Product Updater, also called RPU. When you go to Rational Product Updater, you can click on find updates, at which time the Rational Product Updater goes externally to the IBM Rational Product page and checks what level you are running on your machine and if there are any updates available for you, and it downloads those updates for you, those iFixes. At the moment, we're running about the latest one we have, which was launched last week, I think it was iFix 4, on top of FixPack 2. So on the toolkit, if you install FixPack 2, you can also download software updates going from iFix 2 to iFix 3 and then iFix 4. You can simply install iFix 4 because the fixes are cumulative, and when you install iFix 4, it will give you all the fixes that are contained in iFix 2 or iFix 3. The other thing to check is that this is the only message flow instance deployed to this broker. If you have multiple instances of the message flow that you are running, listening on the same input queue, when you put the message in the debug mode, when you put the message on the input queue, it may just run through the different instance of the flow, and at which time you would not see it hitting any breakpoints that you would have inserted in the other instance of the message flow. The other thing to check is to make sure that the debugger is attached to the correct data flow engine. By mistake, one can be attached to some other data flow engine than they thought they actually were. And this could, again, lead to the inversion sick. You don't really see the list of the message flows when you attach to the data flow engine. In the older version, if you're familiar, it used to give an option for attaching to the data flow engine, and it would list all the message flows that are deployed to that execution group, so you can select that message flow. In version 6, it gives you the list of execution groups. Once you select that execution group, it just attaches you, and if by mistake you're attaching to a different data flow engine, then even when you put a message through the flow, it will not hit any breakpoints. Slide number 26, please. This slide gives the location of some of the logs that are important for us as level 2 as well as for the users, in case you were to report a problem or even for your own benefit. I felt it was it would be useful to put the slide in here so that you can you know which logs are located where in case you were encountering some problems with the debug. On the toolkit, now since there are three components, there are different logs for each component. Toolkit logs are contained by default under this location, .c:\documents-and-settings / user ID / IBM WMBG60/workspace dot metadata, and the file name is called dot log. So if you go to the workspace directory, if you have multiple workspaces, you would have multiple dot log files for the toolkit, and the one that you would be interested in is the one that you are debugging, that you would be debugging. So look at the dot log for that workspace. The broker logs are on Windows, are Windows Event Viewer logs, and on Unixes is the broker syslogs, which one needs to configure. The agent controller logs are located under the agent controller install / config directory. This is the file name is called service log.log file. I don't see the name of the file here, so I just want to mention it. The file name for the agent controller logs are, the file name is called servicelog.log, and again, on Unixes, it's under the agent controller install / config directory, which is opt-ibm-agent-controller/config, and on Windows, it's under program files ibm-agent-controller/config directory. Slide number 27. This slide gives the list of some useful resources. It highlights some of the pages in the information center. It also gives some useful information in the red books that you can find. I have also included a TechNote article here that the users can refer to for debugging purposes. Slide number 28, please. This chart includes the links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The event link on support pages points you to the webcast and conference information. You can visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, to update, or view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all the product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products that are of interest to you. Next slide, please. Number 29. With this, I conclude today's session of debugging message flows. I really hope this information would be helpful for you all. Thank you again for joining. I will now turn over the call to the moderator.
Okay, thank you, Vivek, for a great presentation. And at this point, Daryl, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Vivek Grover.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. We'll take our first question from Sarah McGrath. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vivek. This is Sarah.
Hi.
I was new to installing Message Broker 6, and I was wondering where I get the source code for the agent controller.
The agent controller version 6.0.1 can be downloaded. I guess I can send you the link. I don't have the link open in front of me, but I can definitely send you the link in the email. In case any other users would like to get a hold of that link, you can simply email me. My email address is on the first page of the presentation. It's vgrover@us.ibm.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you the link from where you can download this version.
Okay, thanks. I can just search for it, I think. But I guess my question, second part of the question is, do most developers just install that on their own Windows broker and run debug on their own machine, or is it quite common to put this on the Unix side as well?
The agent controller is supposed to be installed on the machine where your broker is running. So this version 6.0.1 must be installed on the machine where your broker is running. If it's Unix, then it's Unix. If it's Windows, then Windows. The agent controller client comes with the toolkit, and that can be installed on the developer's individual machine.
Yes, I understand that. I'm just surprised. No developer has asked me to put this on Unix, so I'm assuming they are debugging on their own dev environment.
Do they have brokers in their own development environments?
Yeah.
Then yes, they are debugging their own development environment.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Mr. William Brown. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Vivek. This is Bill Brown.
I see.
Hey. We have a lot of developers who are kind of even version 5, and so using the interactive debugger is sort of a foreign thing to them. But we're now moving a bunch of folks into version 6 with a lot of new developers, and I'm trying to get the agent controller running on an AIX box.
Huh?
And first shot at it generated a bunch of JVM errors, and then I did the export loader control user EGs. Now, I will say this, the broker is running, so I realize I'd have to recycle the broker. But when I did the environment variable set, it went ahead and started successfully, but then it turned around and dumped, saying dump handler is processing signal 11.
Mm.
Is that? I mean, I'm really flying in ignorance. So.
I believe your question is that your agent controller dumped when it started.
Yes.
And it gave you some Java 4 files. Is that right?
Let me see if it might not have. No, I may not be sitting in the right directory for it to actually do that for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it does append, then now the one thing you would want to make sure is that agent controller you have installed,
mm-hmm,
is the correct version and the installation is correct. If you think it is correct, then we would like to see that core file or the append file that got generated at the time of core dump. and we have tools to decipher that here.
Okay.
So I would suggest in that scenario that you would open a PMR with us, and we can go that route.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll take a look and see if I can't produce something consistently. And I'll work with my SA, too, because this is actually the first time I've tried to start it. And there could be permissions, stuff going on. There's all sorts of options for getting my head against the wall.
It would also be useful to check service log.log file, the agent controller logs. Now, I would understand if you, if you look at the log files, some of the things may not make sense to you. Some things may make sense to you.
Where would they be?
They would be in the agent controller install directory /config.
Okay.
The file name is service log.log. If we need to trace the startup of agent controller, we can do that as well.
Right.
But I would still recommend that, you know, when we open the PMR, we go through the process of capturing the traces or running some additional scenarios, checking your environment, so we check everything and checking the logs as well.
Okay. Great. Well, I'll see what we can get fired up here, and I may open a PMR if I can't even get that far, just so you guys can start me down the path.
Okay. We'll be happy to.
Okay, super. Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ms. Schneider for any closing or additional remarks.
Thank you. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on the site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vivek, for presenting today.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.